For those of you who have been here for a few years, you'll know a little bit about IJM. Today I want to focus on results and on what it takes to get results. The question we want to ask is on the first screen that's going to appear magically right now. Is this a church or a just church? Is this just a church or a just church? And I'll give you the answer right away, or at least the clue you're looking for. A just church is characterized by action, by doing. Somewhat like this in this photo. It's one of my favorite pictures in IJM from a rescue operation that took place in India in regards to slavery. The lady in the front, her name is Anu George. She's an IJM worker, and she's leading the people behind her out of slavery. This is their first moment of slavery. She's leading them from a forest where the police have just raided a camp where these people were being held for years making wood products, cutting down trees, turning them into wood products. They worked 16 to 18 hours a day with minimal food, no health care, and of course, even the children are involved in the activities of slavery. And so it's a very brutal lifestyle. This is their first moment of being free. Probably the first picture ever taken of them ever in their lifetime. And they're scared, they don't know what's happening. But Anu there, you can tell by the look on her face, nothing bad's gonna happen to them. She's a fierce person, and IJM is full of very determined people at the other end. I was excited to see that a team from here is going to Cambodia. One of the best things about traveling to another part of the world is to see what God is doing there and to meet his people and to find out what caliber of people they are. It's fantastic. You meet some of the coolest Christian people. In IJM, we are now about 700 people strong. And we're full of people like Anu. Now, Anu is little, and everybody to me is little. So I'm not being discriminatory or anything, but she's short, but she's fierce, and I wouldn't want to be the slave owner to have her arrive at my gate with a whole posse of police officers. But this is what justice looks like, action. It's things happening for the poor. It's good things happening to the oppressed. It's God's people at work to bring them into a whole new existence. So justice is action, and a just church is full of people who act on what they know. Okay. And we do it because the earth is full of evil. Okay, there's violence everywhere. This is how Scripture describes it, but it's very much applicable to today. They sit in ambush in the villages. In hiding places, they murder the innocent. Their eyes stealthily watch for the helpless. They lurk in secret like a lion in its covert. They lurk that they may seize the poor. They seize the poor and drag them off in their net. So who are the victims of violence? Well, it's the innocent, the helpless, the poor. In real terms, it's primarily men, women, and children who have who are weak, who have no power, who tend to be from already an oppressed group in society, tend to be small in stature. It's always big people against little people. It's always wealthy against the poor. It's always the strong against the weak. All right, those are the victims of injustice. And the Bible says this is what it looks like, and that's exactly what we deal with every day. People who sit in ambush and find ways of tricking people. Now, in North America, it's just a little more sophisticated. We have more sophisticated ways of sitting in ambush. For example, if you were watching the fire out in Fort McMurray, within days, they were already arresting people for fraud, trying to take advantage of that terrible situation, right? People who were saying, I'm from there, you know, and trying to claim benefits, trying to solicit donations, saying they were going to help and so on, when they had no intention to do that at all. So just a little more sophisticated than hiding behind a bush, all right? Or a friend of mine told me recently they had to disconnect his mom's phone because she had been taken for over $100,000 over the phone from a group purporting to be a charity in South Carolina, which were not in South Carolina and were not a charity. And over a series of months, they had phoned her and kept convincing her to give a little bit more and a little bit more. And she lost $100,000. So there's lots of ways of sitting in ambush and waiting for the innocent, okay? That's the way the world is, and it's even in our own hearts. We tend to be fairly civilized people on a Sunday morning anyway. You all look pretty good. But, you know, in your heart of hearts, you know that there is the potential within you to do harm to another person if it's in your best interest, if it's to your advantage, or if you're in a very desperate situation, all right? So we know that this evil is not far from any of us, but in some places, it's just very overt, very open, and goes without being checked at all. And so we try to tackle that. So you begin to see that when you're thinking of slaves, the picture of a slave is young. They're children. They're little kids. They're teenagers who are held in some form of oppression where they have to work every day, all day, for the benefit of someone else until they die. Without health care, without proper food, it's a very, very real and grim experience. And they're very young. Sometimes we're fond of saying in North America, better late than never. But when you look at those faces, you realize, no, late doesn't cut it anymore, does it? You can't be late, because lives really do depend on it. So it creates a sense of urgency in IJM. We're already in our office planning next year, 2017. We're already trying to create a budget and an action plan during the summer, which will be approved in the fall, melted into a global plan by October, approved by boards in various countries, and then acted upon starting in January. We're not quite halfway through this year, but the sense of urgency is so great, we try not to leave things to chance. We try to plan, we try to act, and then we react to what develops. It's a very action-oriented group of people, and a little bit intense, sometimes a little too intense. And so I find that I tend to forget things. I go to put them in my calendar and I forget. And so like this morning, I was partway here and I couldn't figure out where I was supposed to go. And so I just picked a church at random. That's how I got to speak. And, but you know, it can be a problem if you forget stuff. Like for these guys here, that's not very loud laughter. You must not be able to read it at the back. This is what happened to the dinosaurs, in case you're wondering. They forgot. They procrastinated. And this brings up a lot of sayings that it's usually your father teaches you when you're little. You know, one that my dad taught me was, you make a better door than a window. I couldn't figure that one out. All I could think of was, I don't make doors, I don't make windows. Well, how can you think one is better than the other? It took me forever to realize what he meant, that I make a better door than a window. Another one was day late and a dollar short. Okay, well in IJM, we are desperate not to be a day late and a dollar short. We have plenty of setbacks, but we try very hard to always be moving ahead, moving forward, and acting on justice issues in the world today. Here's a few others. The next one, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Well, the road to the ark was paved with good intentions for those dinosaurs, and they didn't get there. Next one, Actions speak louder than words. Very important one. The mark of a justice-oriented church is action, is doing the work of justice. Not just thinking about it, not just thinking it's a good idea for somebody to do, but actually doing it. The next one. People will judge you by your actions, not your intentions. You may have a heart of gold, but so does a hard-boiled egg. Next one. You can't build a reputation on what you are going to do. Right? Henry Ford, you build a reputation on what you have done. One of the goals of my life is to get an honorary doctorate because you don't have to pay for it and you don't have to study. But you have to do something, right? You have to actually do things because you're honored not for what you're going to do, you're honored for what you did. Next one. The way to get started is to quit talking and begin doing, from Walt Disney. So in any enterprise, whether it's the creation of a magical kingdom or the rescuing of slaves, at some point you have to do something. Okay. See if you can fill in the blank. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. That's right. Do what it says. James 1:22. Here's another one from James. Faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Right. Faith all by itself with no action is dead. Very, very compelling scriptures that tell us that there is a doing part of your life. Not a activity for activity's sake, not just a busyness mentality, but when your heart is compelled by something, you act. Okay. In IJM, that action results in us tackling six major areas of violence against the poor. Slavery as a broad category, sex trafficking, police abuse of power, sexual violence, citizenship rights abuse, and property grabbing. The last one is obscure to people. It's when widows, particularly in sub-Saharan Africa, when their husband dies, a widow is then stripped of all her belongings, including land and home, and is left alone to fend for herself. Very, very violent result. Citizenship rights abuse is a project that we have in northern Thailand where people who live in Thailand and have for several generations have no citizenship. By law, they are to have it, but because they're from a different set of tribal groups, they're discriminated against and they're not given citizenship. That means they can't obtain schooling, they can't go to a hospital, they can be abused and enslaved and even murdered, and it doesn't matter. Nobody owns them. Nobody owns the responsibility of looking after them. Very, very violent problem to be without citizenship in any place. It's one thing to be a refugee, but to be a stateless person or a citizenship lacking person is incredibly violent. This is what we do. We don't do a lot of other things. We don't start hospitals. We don't worry about income tax evasion. We do love it, though, when people get their income tax return and donate it to IJM. And since it's that time of year, I just thought I'd put that out there for you. That was supposed to be somewhat humorous, but it's okay. You're not required to laugh at anything that I say, even if it's tremendously funny. My children don't anymore, so I'm used to it. This is what we do. These are the areas that we try to bring real hope and joy to people. Why do we do it? Next slide. It's because justice is not an option. Justice comes to us in Scripture, rooted in who God is, in His essence, in His character, or in the attributes of God, you might call it, and in His action. He says, if you're going to boast about anything in life, boast that you know me. because I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. These things I delight. You never see anywhere in Scripture that someone is criticized for their kindness or their justice. Now, in several places, those who follow God are criticized for their worship, for their prayers, all of them where they're condemned and their prayers are not accepted, but never for this. In fact, usually their spirituality is condemned because it doesn't have this involved in it. Next one. Justice is also rooted in the actual commands of God to his people. This is from the Old Testament. He has told you, O mortal, what is good and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. This is what you are commanded to do. This is a mini summation of what it means to follow God in the world, the God whose character and actions are just. And in the New Testament, it says this from the lips of Jesus when he was criticizing the scribes and the Pharisees, who were very particular and legalistic about tithing, even the herbs in their garden. He says, "You have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former." So justice, mercy, and faithfulness. This is the normative life of those who follow God. This is what's reflected in them. This is what their actions should show. We had an interesting phenomenon in Zambia when we were working with Kids Alive International and we began homes for orphaned children. Traditionally, the extended family in Southern Africa will absorb orphaned children, but because of the AIDS crisis, the extended family, too many people died, but the children were left. So along with friends of ours who were all pastors and elders of churches, we started a series of homes for those children. And they reported to us after about a year that they now had people approaching them in the marketplace or even just stopping to talk to them about spiritual matters on the street, which they never had before. Before, they were known to be a church leader or a pastor, but people now told them that by what you are doing for those children, we see you are true Christians. You are real Christians. So this is how the actions of those who follow God impact the world around them. This is how people see what you truly believe. Next one. So three things we look for in Canada as we try to help people mobilize themselves for justice. Praying for justice. It's the lifeblood of what we do. It's the single most important action in IJM. Giving, of course, we call it a monthly Freedom Partner program where people give monthly to the IJM programs. And those who will start a group in their church related to justice, because it will spill over from caring about justice internationally to justice locally. You'll find that you'll begin to see it as a whole. Three things that characterize a justice-minded church, a just church. Praying, as I said, is the single most important action in IJM. And we have a number of different ways of going about it. We have weekly prayer bulletins that we send out, and we have a yearly prayer conference in the United States every April. So some of us were just down there praying, and 1,500 people come together to pray. And in each, there are rooms for each country, each field where we work, and you can go to them, you learn about what's happening, and then you pray. So as we prayed there in April, I got this email on the 4th. Yeah, I'm just looking at the date here. I just got this in the last week. Here are some of the things that happened. We were praying for the Philippines. In the Philippines, we have a project to rescue children who are being abused in a novel form of modern evil. It's basically pay-per-view child sexual abuse on the internet. So people around the world will log into a certain site, they'll be able to see these children, and then they type commands and tell adults what to do to the children. And they pay money to do that. Okay? So we were praying against that. This has been first appeared in the news 2 years ago, in 2014. And in 2015, we had our first arrests, our first raids and arrests, and people right now being prosecuted in court, and children being helped. But here was a result just a couple weeks after our big prayer gathering in April. In Cebu, we helped the new national anti-trafficking police to set 5 children free from a home where they were being sexually exploited by being broadcast online. 2 of the children were under 2 years of age. Praise God for this new police unit. This was their first cyber sex trafficking operation. So we call this OSEC, online sexual exploitation of children. We were also praying for Kenya back in April because we have a number of types of casework in Kenya, but one of them in particular is about police abuse of power. So it says here, less than a week after we prayed in April, our prayers were answered and we received our very first conviction of a police officer in Kenya. As you can imagine, the power that a police officer holds is very great. And if he commits a crime, he often has the means to cover it up. And the higher up you are, the more people you can command to cover up for you. In Bolivia, we had prayed for the strengthening of the legal system. A lot of great things have happened there where we prosecute people who abuse little girls. It says, praise God for a generous grant that arrived 2 weeks later that would go towards improving the court system's handling of child sexual assault cases. And this grant came from the U.S. government to our IJM Bolivia office, directly to that office. It's hundreds of thousands of dollars, and it's to bring Canadian judges there to train local judges on how those cases can be handled and evaluated better. Amazing. You have governments of countries changing and conforming to the will of God. This is what it means when the scripture says God changes the hearts and directs the minds of the rulers of the earth, like he directs the water in a river. We see it happening all the time in IJM. So we pray, and we invite you to pray. We have a weekly prayer bulletin that goes out. It looks like this. It comes out on Saturday mornings, and we invite you to sign up for it. It's usually 3 or 4 prayer requests. It's not onerous, but it will do 2 things at once. It will enable you to act against injustice, and it will educate you about the kind of cases that we are fighting against. So for example, there's another request here from Kenya for a new case against a police officer. It says, the upcoming trial of a high-profile police abuse of power case. The trial starts next week and will involve extensive security operations as well as legal and aftercare support for the family of the victim, whose name is Samuel. Pray that all those involved in the trial are protected, as the accused and his supporters have been threatening Samuel's family and witnesses over the past few months. Pray for wisdom and discernment for IJM's team as it makes final preparations. So this is what we would invite you to do. Sign up to receive this every week. And some weeks you miss it, and you may not pray, but we would covet your prayers in an active way. And this will also educate you as to what goes on in other places. So pray, get your name on that list. Give towards IJM on a monthly basis. In your bulletin today, there should have been a little folder that talks about our monthly giving program called Freedom Partner. Now, I particularly had that put in there today because we're feeling a little bit left out in IJM, because you had compassion here not that long ago, and I was given your church bulletin the week after Compassion was here, and it said you signed up 60 child sponsors in one day. Did you know that? Pretty cool. Pretty cool for them. for them. We like compassion mostly, so we don't mind. But you know, here we are, IJM. And we can't assign you, obviously, an individual child in quite the same way. But it is a quarter of all of our income comes from people who just faithfully give every month. Not huge amounts, just faithful. And we would love to sign up 60 people here today, or 61 would actually be better. 61. Then I would just write a little note to my friend Barry Slow and Wait and say, nah, 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 they like us better. And maybe our poster would be first in the line. We're second behind compassion right now. Just doesn't seem right. But we cooperate well. We never fight about anything with them. Actually, we are doing a number of projects together on the field. Obviously, because of their care for children, they run up against injustice all the time. And we're also doing a special Justice Week at Muskoka Bible Center in July, where IJM and Compassion are there together for the week, and we work together to talk about justice in a world that basically is very, very violent toward children. And start a justice action group in your church. We have resources that can help you do that, can help you sustain that, and become truly known as a church, a just church. Okay. And there's a book that will help you do it. It's on the table in the foyer, and it's called The Just Church. So there's lots of help. We have other resources, which I think is the next slide. Nope, they'll come later. Here's the question of the day. Does it make any difference? It makes a big difference. Does pursuing justice matter? Aren't these problems too big? Aren't they too obscure? Aren't they the responsibility of somebody else? You know, can you really make a difference? And sometimes, even in our own world in IJM, we wonder if we're going to make a difference. When I've been to different field offices, and I'll sometimes ask them, when you started at IJM, did you think this was going to work? And it's always, no. Didn't think it was going to work. Because who had ever tackled these problems before? Nobody. Because they're too hard. They're too big, they're too difficult, and so on. But nothing is too big for God. And we see results that are uncommon. We see results that are bigger and better than we even anticipated. In fact, considering the input that we make, the results are disproportionate. So, for example, in helping widows who have lost all of their property, we've seen people convicted and go to jail. We've seen dozens and dozens of properties return. We've seen widows restored to their land, their children able to farm and go to school again. It makes a big difference. If you go to the next slide, in Cambodia, I want to mention this one, because on the back of the brochure that we just looked at for being a freedom partner, on the back there's a picture of a girl named Maine. And she was from Cambodia, and you're sending a team to Cambodia in just a little while. When we began there 10 years ago to try to remove children from brothels, depending on the city that we were in, it ranged from 15% of all women held in a brothel were children to 30%. Now, after 10 years, it's down to less than 0.1% in those places. So does it make a difference? Makes a big difference. Just think of all the children who were removed and all the children who never ended up there. Because you not only have the rescuing part, but you have the complete stopping of a brothel and no more children going in there. That makes a big, big difference in a society. And so the next picture is of Maine, when she was a little girl newly rescued from a brothel. Just a little girl. Extremely happy. She came from a family where her father was an alcoholic. There was never any money in the family, and eventually she ended up in a brothel supporting her family, all the money going to her family, if there was any to be gotten. But she was rescued through an IJM operation, and now she looks like the next picture. She's a grown mom, Okay, she's in her early 20s. She has three children and her own little textile business. Lives in an apartment with her husband, and she's a volunteer at IJM in Cambodia. So if there's any of you in here who are going on that Cambodia trip to Siem Reap, we have an office there. And if you went to that office, you might get to meet her when she was there volunteering. But does it make a difference? It makes a difference for all of society, and it definitely makes a difference in the life of those who get rescued. So never underestimate your efforts in God's hands as he multiplies them and does things you've never heard of. One very cool story from Cambodia. In the capital city, there is a tea shop called Blossom. Blossom Tea Shop. And this was started by a couple who went there from Australia. They had heard about the problem of little girls being held in brothels and being rescued. They decided they wanted to do something. So the lady took a cake decorating course, and off they went to Cambodia. They didn't know the language. They didn't know, you know, any sociological principles. They just went, compelled by God to do something. And they ended up starting a tea shop and training survivors from brothels how to serve customers, how to make cupcakes, how to make cakes. One day, the princess of the country, the daughter of the king, came to the store with all of her retinue of followers and ordered her wedding cake. So these girls, like Maine, who as little children were horribly abused, become the ones who make the cake for the queen, the princess of the country. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. And now the girls who graduate from that program get a certificate in culinary something or other, I forget exactly, from an Australian college. That's what God does. He takes your efforts, multiplies them, turns them into something more beautiful and more far-reaching than you imagined in the first place. So never give up on your day-to-day action efforts to bring justice in the world. It makes a big difference. Whenever you're pursuing justice, actions matter. Actions matter. Just like if you want to get to the ark on time, your actions matter. If you don't want to show up late for something, actions matter. So a week from now, you're either going to be 45 minutes early for church, or you're going to be 45 minutes late, or you'll be on time, depending on how much your actions matter to you in getting to church on time. So don't be discouraged by small efforts. Don't be discouraged by what looks to be, in our eyes, a feeble beginning. We started a project last year in Ghana, West Africa, and you saw it on the video, little boys being rescued from fishing boats. And we had done a survey. There's about 8,000 boys held as slaves on little boats across that lake. And they live and work and die there. They can't go home. They suffer from malnutrition, and many of them drown untangling fishing nets from the trees under the water, because this was a man-made lake, Lake Volta. They built a dam and it flooded a huge portion of the land, and all the trees underneath are great places for fish, but not so great places for fishing nets. And so that's what they do. We had our very first rescue, which you saw a clip of on that video, and it resulted in 11 boys being rescued. And that was our last rescue. The publicity that came out of that internationally ended up resulting in the whole project being shut down because of an embarrassment to the government. Now, since then, every day we relentlessly pursued our agreement with the government, renegotiated it. It's all ready to go. We are ready to go. It just needs to be signed. And the minister responsible for signing it keeps finding reasons why not to, and leaving her office to go other places. It's been sitting on her desk since the 1st of January. So if you want to pray for something, pray that she'll be compelled to sign that document. She's supposed to sign it. Her government is in agreement, but she herself refuses to sign it. So what happened to those 11 boys? Well, in April, I went to the Ghana prayer room, found out all 11 of them are thriving. Two of them were able to go home because they were not sold by their parents. They were just kidnapped. Nine of them are in boarding school situations. And in 1 year, all 11 of them who had never been to school all can speak English fluently, which is the language of education in the country of Ghana, but they didn't know it up to a year ago. They're thriving and they're growing and they're happy and they're in school and they're healthy. All because somebody saw a problem, decided to do something about it, and God's people began to pray and give towards it. That's what happens. And then you meet roadblocks and you pray some more. You meet another roadblock and you act again. That's the way of the kingdom of God. You work diligently, you work faithfully, and you don't give up until you see something that honors God. So that's what we do in IJM. I invite you to take all three of these steps today. You can sign up for our weekly email on the table. There are sheets to sign up out there. You can fill out your cards for becoming a monthly Freedom Partner, or you can do it online. And if there are a group of people who want to start some kind of a justice action group here, our office is right here in London, Ontario. We'd be glad to help out, and we have lots of resources to make that happen too. So what will it be? Just a church or a just church? That's the choice that we have. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for being the God of the universe who desires from us not just internal thoughts and attitudes, but action as well. Thank you for giving us something to do. Thank you for making our burdens light and joyful. And grant us this day the willingness and the ability to persevere and to become a body of Christ here in London that acts in order to bring justice for others. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.